Thank you, Steve. Don't forget, sometime between now and the end of the show, so roughly 51 minutes, somewhere in there, your chance to win an incredible prize package from Omaha Steaks with a game we call It's Impossible. I will ask you a trivia question that I don't think you'll know the answer to, but if you can fool me and know the answer to it, you'll win an incredible array of steaks from Omaha Steaks.
And no stream today. We are in the process of changing locations. They're wiring all the studios, so no bonus hour from noon to one on the stream. Probably no bonus hour next week as well, but maybe the week after that.
If you're good.
There's a man acting like he's crying because there's no bonus hour.
Michigan Avenue is not taking this news well, Wendy.
We'll get back as soon as we can.
We'll do everything we can to make that happen. Alexander Zelbin joins us right now. Alexander is the managing editor for Decider.com, a great website when it comes to all things show business, entertainment, and television. Alexander, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Thanks for having me on. I'm doing
Absolutely.
Great. How are you guys?
We're good. I hate to start this off on a sad note, but television lost a very important person today. Anthony Bourdain, we found out just a few hours ago, is dead. Very sad news.
Yeah, this is awful news. I was honestly, when the notification popped up on my phone, I was personally gutted. I only met him once in person at an event, but he was an incredible, incredible inspiration to probably millions of people. He did, I don't know if it's okay to talk about this on the air, but I'll go ahead anyway. He did kill himself, and he was discovered this morning by one of his good friends. We don't know specifics, and it's probably best not to talk about specifics. But obviously it's very sad because he's somebody who traveled all over the world, exposed people to different types of food and different cultures. And even somebody like that who has been so powerful and so prominent, there was clearly a lot going on inside of him that was not necessarily being expressed. And it's terrible. It's awfulness.
And, you know, meeting him or just watching him on television, he had this snarky, confident way about him. So that makes it even more puzzling, you know?
Yeah, his personality, if you ever read his first book, Kitchen Confidential, which is phenomenal, and definitely pick it up if you haven't, but he always told the truth. You know, when the Me Too movement started, he was one of the first people on the front lines trying to reveal people like Harvey Weinstein, and even when a good friend of his, like Mari Batali, ended up, you know, no pun intended, under the knife, he was one of the first people out there being like, listen, we need to take these people to task, we need to do this, because part of that was, as he was young, as he was coming up in kitchens as a chef, he did a lot of drugs, he did a lot of wrong things with women and to his employees and other things, and he recognized that, and he owned that, and he tried to push beyond that, and it seemed like, obviously, for a time that he was successful, but clearly not completely.
Alexander, if you wouldn't mind, talk about the transition he made, because when he first reached notoriety, it was for his incredible knowledge of food, but then at some point, somebody had the wherewithal to say, hey, you're a lot more than just a food guy. You understand the world and stuff and travel and everything. How did that take place? Do we know?
Well, I'm not totally intimately familiar, but of the stuff that I do know about him, I would say part of it is that he was never afraid to try anything. You know, this might come from his youth that we were just talking about, where he went all totally overboard with drugs and wine and women and everything else. But he would eat anything, he would try anything, he had no fear about anything in these cases, and that turned him into a chef, but also a travel host. He would go to places and really be with the people. There's a great piece that one of our editors, Megan O'Keefe, put up this morning talking about how it wasn't just about a lot of people can go to places and be like, whoa, this is weird, I'm eating tentacles, but he was never like that. He was always part of the culture. He embraced the people. He tried to understand them, and he tried to bring that in a very simple and plain way to the viewers at home. Another thing that I will mention that a lot of people I don't think know about him is he was a huge comic book fan. That's actually how I met him in person, is through his first comic book, Get Gero, which was a post-apocalyptic chef graphic novel, and he was throwing a party for it. And he wrote a bunch of other comics after that. There was one that's currently running that was all about just weird ghost stories that chefs would tell that he changed into comic books. He had so many different things and so many things to give the world. It's it's a tremendous loss.
What a loss. Really, very, very sad. Anthony Bourdain, if you're just hearing the news for the first time, sadly taking his own life, dead at the age of 61. We'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more to discuss with Alexander, including the wow moment of the week. This segment is sponsored by Wow Internet TV Phone. Stick around for that wow moment of the week. It's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Are you just hearing the English language for the first time?
Maybe.
That's amazing. Alexander Zelbin is our guest. Alexander is the managing editor of Decider.com, a fantastic website. Go to Decider.com if you like your entertainment. What about this, Alexander? For years and years and years, there have been hints that we might get a Friends reunion. Will there be or will there not be?
The definitive answer, unfortunately, if you're a Friends fan, is no.
That stinks.
No Friends
reunion.
Could
you be more negative?
I was just watching a Friends marathon last night, and I mean, seriously, that
really
show
funny.
Still stands up.
Yeah. Why no reunion? We want a reunion.
Well, that's actually the reason. There was a panel where David Crane, the co-creator of the show, was on, and they asked him about a reunion. He said they gave them their happy endings. They tied everything up. They said everything they need to say. There's nothing more that they need to say about the show. They just don't need to return to it. They were on a break, and they're going to stay on it.
We need to know how they doing. We do. I know that was a stretch, but seriously, just watching this one episode, Joey's got the hair in his face and he's wearing turtlenecks. The clothes are very 80s-esque.
Sure they are, yeah.
I mean, there was a fashion, and she had the Rachel at that time.
Yeah.
Some of the styles went out, but it's still funny.
Yeah, it's really funny. That's too bad. So no chance ever. Don't stop dreaming. Stop hoping. It's over.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, honestly, I respect it. With the amount of revivals that are going on right now, there's plenty of nostalgia that you can tap into if you really want to. And
right.
Some stories just have to have endings.
All right. All right. How about this? Alicia Silverstone is coming back in a show called American Woman. When and what is that about?
Well, so this is on the Paramount Network, which you may have a little trouble finding, so check your listings for that. It actually premiered last night, but you can probably stream it today, and then it's going to be ongoing every Thursday. Here's the interesting pedigree of it. It is based on the childhood of Kyle Richards, who you might know from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And it's about two girls who are raised by a single mom, played by Alicia Silverstone. It's a half-hour comedy. The showrunner is John Wells, who ran ER. And
oh, yeah.
Plus. So there's a good pedigree behind it. To be perfectly honest, our reviewer, Leah Palmieri, was a little mixed on the show, but what she did love about it is that Alicia Silverstone, you know her, you love her, she is back, and she's an icon as usual.
Yeah, she's very likable. Wendy, you'll know Kyle Richards is the sister of Kim Richards, who played Prudence on Nanny and the Professor.
Yes, all right.
Now it all makes sense?
Yeah, but he was on The Real Housewives?
She.
Oh, it's a girl.
Yeah,
all
Kyle's
right.
A girl in this case. Yep. All right, so American Woman premiered last night on Paramount. Mixed reviews. The show The Staircase, that's a Netflix show, and that starts when? That starts today. What is The Staircase about?
Yeah. So if you are into true crime shows, this is kind of the granddaddy of true crime shows. Another one of our writers, Kayla Cobb, has been... I heard her gasp out loud when they announced that Netflix was bringing this back. That's how excited she was. We have a bunch of stuff that went up today and throughout the weekend about it. But it's about the real-life Michael Peterson case. He was a mystery author who may or may not have killed his wife, Kathleen Peterson, by pushing her down the stairs. There was originally it was one of the first true crime documentaries back in 2004. It was released as an 8-part series. And then I believe there was another 2-part series, a sequel to it, that was released. The big deal with this is the Netflix series is wrapping up all of those episodes and then adding 3 additional episodes with new evidence and things that have happened since 2013. To give you a hint, if you don't know anything about the case, we had a separate thing. This is a theory so crazy they didn't include it.
Oh, what is that?
The owl theory. The theory is that basically she fell down the stairs. There were some weird markings on her head. Previously in Michael Peterson's life, he had a previous wife who also died falling down a staircase. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. But the owl theory is there's owl DNA in the scratches, and they found some owl feathers next to the staircase.
Yeah.
So the theory is that an owl killed her.
An owl?
Was it a pet owl, or was it a killer owl that broke into the house?
A killer owl who broke into the house, potentially. But that's the sort of crazy theory that didn't make it into the show. The stuff that is in the show is in some ways even more insane. So,
an actual owl, Alexander. Not as in I'll see you in jail, but a real owl.
Like Woodsy.
Yeah, Woodsy the owl.
Yep, yeah. He may have thought she was a Tootsie Roll Pop.
Crunch.
That happens. All right, now I want to see it. I'll be honest. I was on the fence until you brought up the owl theory, and now I can't wait.
There you go.
I'm very excited. Sunday night, the Tony Awards. What can we expect there?
So this actually should be a big one. I feel like people have been tuning out from the Tony Awards for a little while, honestly, myself as well, because, hey, theater is super expensive.
Yeah.
But this one, you got Bruce Springsteen performing, Josh Groban and Sarah Bareilles are hosting, and there's a bunch of shows, even if you haven't seen them on Broadway, that you might be interested in. The new Harry Potter show is nominated for awards. Also, other names for the musicals, Frozen, SpongeBob SquarePants, Mean Girls. So there's going to be a lot of stuff you might recognize there. And then one of the other big ones that everybody expects to probably take home the most awards is Angels in America. There's a revival of that starring Nathan Lane and Andrew Garfield that I've heard from folks in the office who saw it is absolutely phenomenal. So it should be a fun night, particularly if you're a fan of theater.
What's their rule about a show like Hamilton did really, really well last time? So can that still be nominated for things? Or do they, once you win or nominated, do they put you on a shelf? How does that play out?
It's during the nomination year. You know, the exception is revivals. To be honest with you, I'm not sure about the space. You can't, you know, cancel a show and then bring it back a year later, and then suddenly that's a revival. Yeah. But something like Hamilton, I believe it's not an exact calendar year. I believe it's until February or March it needs to open, something like that. So as long as it opens between, say, March and March, and somebody check me on my facts there, that's what applies to the Tonys.
All right. That sounds good. And I want to wish good luck to my friend, my longtime friend, David Cromer, who we had on the show a few weeks ago, who was nominated for his first Tony Award for directing. I would sure like to see him win that statue. That would be a big thing for David. So good luck on Sunday night. I want to run.
Well, you know famous people, don't you?
Yeah, I know a bunch of famous people, Wendy. I know you and David Cromer, and that's my whole list. It's not a long list.
You know Alexander.
Well, yeah, I know Alexander, but just by phone so far. Alexander, I've been watching. Now, I know this show has been on for four seasons, but I started this thing a couple of weeks ago where every night I close off my night by watching an episode of Black Mirror, which I have to say, if you've not seen it, it's like a British updated Twilight Zone. Each of the episodes are freestanding. You don't have to have seen them in any particular order. They're all like very Twilight Zone-y.
I loved it.
What a great way to cap off an evening watching an episode of that. You've seen the show, right?
I have. I'm surprised that you're able to sleep after watching it.
They're pretty creepy.
It is. Basically, the idea of it beyond the Twilight Zone thing is it looks into technology, as you can probably guess from the name. You know, our phones are black mirrors, our laptops or computer screens or TVs are black mirrors.
Never even got that connection, I got to be honest with you.
No?
Nope.
Yeah, there you go.
But can I tell you how they're ahead of the game, Alexander, really quick? The episode I watched last night was about there's a big election going on in England, and the guy that is the front runner is a cartoon character. And it's interesting watching the people of England get sucked into this guy who has no political background. He's a cartoon, and all of a sudden everyone in England loves him, and they're fooled by him. And I went, wow, there's absolutely no parallel to that in anything I've ever seen in real life ever.
There's actually, it's kind of amazing if you look back at some of the first seasons in particular like that, where they were not that far away from the truth. There's things like, I'm forgetting the name of the episode. I think it's The Entire History of You, where they have this thing called a grain that's implanted in your ear, and you can look back at all of your memories.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Redo. They call it a redo, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there are things where they're starting to experiment with ideas like that, where you can start doing things like that. I also, one other thing I wanted to point out to you as you sift through the series, you said that they're all separate, and technically that's true, but there's actually been little hints that they might be connected.
Oh, really?
Little crossovers, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'll watch for that.
Yeah, there's when you get to the last episode of the most recent season called Black Museum, keep an eye out, because there's some things that may connect one episode.
Oh, I love it.
That's
right.
A really good one. Has that been renewed? Because there aren't that many episodes.
It's four seasons, but all the seasons are short. They're between three and six episodes per season.
I watched it all.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, and there will be a fifth season.
All right, good. That's good news. What is the wow moment of the week, Alexander?
The wow moment of the week is Greg Berlanti, who's one of the few super producers on TV, along with Shonda Rhimes and Ryan Murphy, got an enormous deal with Warner Brothers, which is his main studio. They paid him $300 million cash, reportedly, to stay with Warner Brothers through 2024. Now, obviously, this is a wow moment for Greg Berlanti because he got $300 million cash. But in terms of broadcast TV, it's a huge deal because those two other names that I mentioned, Shonda Rhimes and Ryan Murphy, except for a few shows, have moved over to Netflix. They had very similar big deals, and they've moved over to streaming. So Greg Berlanti, on the other hand, is staying with broadcast. He has 14 shows on the air right now for WB. He's one of the few reliable mega producers. That's actually really good news for your broadcast shows and even some cable shows that he is staying with them, at least for the next 6 years.
Excellent news. Alex, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Alex.
Alex Zelbin, the managing editor of Decider.com. That's the website to visit there, Decider.com. A quick break, some news, and then your chance to win an incredible array of steaks from Omaha Steaks. Stick around. That's next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.